Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
The Denver Broncos were looking to try to upgrade the quarterback position. They spent the last couple of weeks assessing Joe Flacco, but the truth of the matter is they already knew his game very well because their new head coach, Vic Fangio, worked with him for 2 years in Baltimore. Flacco's first two seasons in the league, 2008 and 2009, when Fangio was the Ravens' linebackers coach. Fangio is now the Broncos' head coach. He knows that Flacco is one of the quarterbacks available. Another team that inquired about Flacco is the Washington Redskins, but they have obvious cap issues, having to fit in Alex Smith's contract. And so Denver forged ahead and was able to reach an agreement in principle with the Baltimore Ravens.
All right. One quarterback on the move. A little sportsy stuff today. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler. Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Aaron Rabel behind the glass. Still Voldemort to me, I'm sorry. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and it is a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, send smoke signals, put odds on it. However you do it, just put odds on it. What are the odds? It's going to be a good show because Eric's going to be here.
Probably percent 1,000.
Yeah, it's always a good show when he shows up, right?
Yeah, I mean, it helps.
Definitely. Well, I think it was going to be a good show anyway.
I like to think so.
I'm very excited about today's show, even though... Again, a little more sports going on than I was expecting. I
thought, yeah, it's kind of sportsy.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Your favorite quarterback, Joe Flacco.
Headed
to Denver.
Elite.
I'm interested to see what happens with that because I don't know that Joe Flacco in his career at this point is better than Case Keenum.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think he is, but... I don't know how much better. I don't know if it's a significant upgrade.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's an upgrade at all. I mean, I don't think it's a downgrade necessarily, but, you know.
I mean, Joe Flacco's he's a more accomplished quarterback for sure.
He's a more accomplished quarterback, but if you just look at what they've done over the last 3 years, Case Keenum's been better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and maybe he'll fit better in Denver, but I just think it's a strange move because, well, now if the Broncos want to get rid of Case Keenum, I have a really good conspiracy theory for you. All right, we'll go back to the Cardinals and Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Which there's a video on Sports Map today about that, by the way, from Lance and Joel. Shameless plug. But what if they were to trade Josh Rosen to the Patriots or someone like that, draft Kyler Murray, sign Keenum to be the starter for the first few games, who, by the way, also played under Cliff at UH. Also has run that offense very well in college. Just a thought.
I guess it is a thought. I just don't.
Just until
I don't know Murray's why the ready. I maybe it's just me. I don't know why the Patriots would want Josh Rosen.
Apparently, Belichick. I read a couple stories on it today. Belichick was very high on him last year. They definitely need a succession plan for Tom Brady. I know he thinks he's going to play forever, but is he realistically? And yeah, so I could see that happening.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know what you're going to give up. I mean, you're not going to get the 10th pick in the draft, right?
Oh no.
So you're going to get diminishing returns on the guy. But if you got a high second round pick and you've decided Kyler Murray's your guy, just a thought. I'm just throwing a few things out there for you today. I'd be interested in seeing if that happens, because obviously they say, oh, he's our guy, but what does that mean? He's our guy right now. You can't say, oh, we're definitely drafting Kyler Murray and turfing Josh Rosen. What value does he have then?
Well, the problem is sort of how we've talked about Kyle Tucker, and once you've seen him, the value goes away. We've seen Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen's done nothing to improve his stock. So you're clearly going to have to take a diminished return for him, much more diminished than you would have had he not started a single game this year, right?
Right.
Because now we know, I mean, he's not enough to change a franchise. You know what I mean? People could look at what Baker Mayfield did and say, you know what, that guy, just based off this short sample size, this guy could be a game changer. No one looks at what Josh Rosen did and says, that's a franchise quarterback.
No, but to be fair, did you think that after 1 year of Jared Goff?
No.
I'm not sure I thought that after 1 year of Carson Wentz. I thought there's a guy with some upside. Looks pretty good.
Okay, but there's a difference between, did I think that Jared Goff was total dog crap after 1 year?
Yes, I did.
I didn't.
Now, to be fair, he was with Jeff Fisher, and yeah, he was total dog crap that year.
Think about the other quarterbacks in that draft, in this year's draft. Mayfield, Darnold. I mean, Darnold, you would say he looks like he's going to meet expectations or come close to it anyway, right?
Well,
based on what we've seen.
Part of it was my impression of the guys going in. I still think Sam Darnold has an arrow pointing up.
I do too. Would you agree Josh Allen probably turned some heads this year?
Yeah, I think he looked better than I thought he would look.
Because no one thought that he would, and myself included, thought that he would be serviceable this early on.
I didn't think he'd be ready right away. No question.
And then Lamar Jackson, obviously, I mean, he's clearly got a long way to go as a passer, but he's a big reason why the Ravens made the playoffs. So every other quarterback, you can look at it and say, you know what? What the little that we saw of them makes us think, all right, not bad.
But I would just point this out. Which one of those guys was in a worse situation in terms of offensive line, in terms of coaching, in terms of everything?
I mean, you can argue that Josh Allen was in just as bad a spot as Sam Darnold, too, for that matter.
I think both those teams were.
The Jets are maybe one of the least talented teams in the league.
Yeah, you know, but he keeps saying that, but I look at their defense, and I mean, there's a reason the Cardinals have the number one pick. They're not as talented as the Jets. I just think the guy was in a terrible situation, and maybe it'll be better with Kingsbury. I don't know if it will or not, but, you know, again, I'd go back and look at Jared Goff under Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy looked like he never had a chance to be anything. So I'm not saying he's going to be good, but I bet if you put him in.
Would you have traded for Jared Goff after 1 year?
If I could get him on the cheap, yeah.
What's the cheap?
The cheap is a lot less than you paid for him with the number two overall pick or number one overall pick.
But you know how the NFL works. If you try to trade a guy's contract, it hurts you. You know what I mean? Like it's not like Major League Baseball, where if you trade the guy, all of his salary goes right over to you, and the salary cap hit goes to that team. Like you have to basically eat crow for trading a guy who's under a long term contract.
The good news is, with this rookie wage scale, it's not that
it's not
ridiculous.
As punitive if you were, no. Like if it was Matt Stafford on his rookie deal.
Right. But or Sam Bradford back in the day.
Yeah.
But I mean I could see.
Ironically, Sam Bradford. Is he still under contract with the Cardinals?
I don't know. I'm not even sure. Is he still alive?
I don't know.
But
that's crazy to me.
But the reality is, I think if you're a team like the Patriots and you like the guy going into last year and you're getting him a lot cheaper than what you would have paid, you're getting him a lot cheaper than the 10th overall pick. Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you be interested? Because guess what? Now you're going to put him in a good system where he can sit there and learn for at least another year under Brady. And maybe that's the guy moving forward.
If he thought he could play, yes. But here's the other downside to the Patriots. Now, if you're looking for a long-term cheap answer and you think Josh Rosen might be that guy, now you've got one less year of control over him than you do over a guy you draft yourself.
Yeah, but if he's sitting on the bench, how much are you going to pay him? I mean, that's the thing. If his contract is up when Brady retires, he's not going to get a long-term big deal. You're going to pay him basically his fifth-year option, and it's not going to cost you that much. I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't know that it'll happen, but you know, and the Patriots may like somebody in this draft better.
Yeah.
Because there will be a couple of guys that nobody's talking about anymore because all anyone wants to talk about is Kyler Murray that might slip now. It might be down at the bottom of the first round. And the Patriots say, hey, you know what? We like this guy. We think he can sit. And now you have him on a cheaper contract and under control. It's funny that you talk about contracts because, the whole Antonio Brown thing. If I'm the Steelers, I tell them, you know what? Thanks for the request, but I'm not trading you.
Oh, I don't. Why would you do that?
What?
Why would you not trade him?
You see, you talk about cap hits. If you bothered to look at what the cap hit's going to be for the Steelers if they do move him,
release him.
You still stuck with his contract.
I mean,
you cut him. All right, here you go. If you cut him right now,
what's to keep Antonio Brown from doing the exact same thing Le'Veon Bell did last year?
He's under contract.
So was Le'Veon Bell.
Then you don't pay him.
Well,
Le'Veon Bell was never under contract because he didn't sign his franchise tender. No, he didn't.
Okay.
That was the whole thing.
You're right.
So it's a totally different situation. But, if you take a look at what it's going to cost them in terms of dead money on the cap to trade him or cut him, how about $21 million this year?
Yeah.
In dead money. But you would save $1 million. So there's that. Next year, $14 million. I mean, and now the first year it gets where it's not that punitive is 2021. That's still $7 million in dead cap money.
That's crazy.
So, you know, from a Steelers standpoint, what the hell do you do? For one thing, a team's not going to give you a ton.
Right.
Because they're taking on a contract and a problem guy.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to eat that. That's significant. I think the best thing for them is to try to work that out somehow.
Well, I don't think it's going to get worked out. Mm-hmm. I think they blew that
this year. But the difference is a guy really doesn't have the leverage that Le'Veon Bell did because he's under contract.
But he can sit out and not get paid.
Yeah, he can sit out and not get paid, but how many guys are going to do that?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. You're talking about a $22 million contract, so you're just going to sit out. It's like Le'Veon Bell was, what, 14 for 1 year?
Something like that.
And they could drag this thing out for 2 years if they wanted to. You think he's really going to sit out for that? And just because a guy wants out, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, you know, he signed that contract. So.
I'd much rather be rid of the headache.
Well, and maybe they will be. But you're also talking about some significant consequences to that.
That's fair.
Apparently the signal's out, guys. Mm. At least, hopefully we're still on the stream.
Is that the case, Aaron?
Checking on that.
I've had 3 people now tell me the signal's out.
Sweet.
Shame. Well.
Guess whose problem that is now.
I would say if we had a program director who was paying attention, this would never happen.
Oh, boy.
God, nobody heard that joke. Come on.
That's true.
I can sit here and say whatever the hell I want. Nobody's going to hear it.
That's true.
So, and I have a live read here, which I don't really think I should do because, you know, the people won't hear it. So maybe we should just go to break and I'll come back with it once we find out what's going on. Is that okay? All right. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz. Not really on ESPN 97.5, but hey, what the hell?
This is the Blitz. Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we really are back on The Blitz.
Hey!
Allegedly. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. What are the odds Wednesday? Chase, want to know what are the odds one day someone actually does do their what are the odds by running through the studio with something painted on their chest?
Boy, I hope not.
Depends on the chest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Let's squeeze in a quick call. Mike, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, sports.
All right. Sports. Trying to see what are the odds of me winning some WWE tickets for my son that he desperately wants us to go to.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do we have any of those?
Do we have any left? Yeah, we have some left.
I believe we do.
Yeah, we'll find out.
How old's your son?
Well, he's gone.
Oh. Well, how are we going to... No. I was going to make the guy some tickets.
Yeah, you know what? I think... I'll tell you what we'll do. If we have any, Mike, you call back.
I mean, now that 100 people are going to call named Mike.
No. Whoever's out there will know who it is. But we'll let you know. If we do, we'll give you the tickets. Your son can enjoy the entertainment. Excuse me.
Looks like I was wrong.
We don't have any? All right. Well, it's the thought that counts. We wanted to give them to you.
I was going
to
try.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is the number. 713-780-3776. Hey, can we follow up on one more story? Because and then I have one that I think you're going to enjoy because it involves your Longhorns, your beloved Longhorns.
My beloved horns.
But I don't know if you saw this, but we were talking about the other day when the Browns were saying they did their due diligence, and we talked about how stupid that phrase is.
Due diligence.
If you really had done your due diligence, wouldn't talking to the woman in the video be part of it?
That seems like that would be part of due diligence. I don't know for sure what all due diligence encapsulates.
And that's the problem with that phrase. It's because, okay.
They basically said, we did enough to feel good about it.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah. In other words, maybe we didn't talk to everybody just in case there was something that might pop up.
Yeah, but we didn't talk to anybody who was going to tell us anything bad. That would have been dumb.
Because I would have been happy to talk to that woman to find out if she was a lunatic or not. She might have been a complete loon.
Maybe.
And I'd like to know that. Or maybe there's more to it, and it's like, eh. So, no, you didn't do your due diligence. I'm sorry. That's that phrase, I hate that so much, because that could be as simple as, yeah, all right, we're thinking about bringing Aaron in as producer. And you say, hey, Fred, what do you think of Aaron? I like him. Okay. I did my due diligence.
Yeah. I did mine, too.
Just... Yeah.
But if he sucks, I'll be like, man, I really vetted that guy.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, we did our due diligence.
He fooled us.
Yeah, we didn't know that he used to be a Baptist preacher and was in that Chronicle story. Yeah, no, but we did our due diligence. Ugh. Anyway, so I have a good old-fashioned Aggie Longhorn story for you that's one of my favorite non-story stories of the day. Aggie Internet is in an uproar.
Okay.
Because apparently when all the recruits were in for the 2019 class, Texas had moved up to number 3 and A&M was number 4.
Oh, yeah.
A&M fans, this is on 247 Sports, which I'm not too familiar with them because I'm not a recruiting nerd.
Isn't that 24/7?
Maybe it is. I don't know. It's just, I don't know bleep about the site. Okay. I know it's a bunch of, if you're a recruiting nerd, it's probably one of the sites you go to. But Billy Lucci, who I think still does Tech Aggs, right?
Yeah, he's like he's the king of the Aggie message board.
Yeah. So
what's the guy's name? Used to do a show here, Jeff Ketchum.
Yeah,
he's like Jeff Ketchum for the Longhorns, but for Aggie.
Okay. He says after several insane postseason rating bumps for multiple commits, even by Texas standards, what happened with Owens, Hookfin, and Warren is pretty laughable. Apparently, there were some rating bumps right at the end that got the Longhorns past the Aggies.
I thought it was just that one player that came over.
Well, he was one of their signings and helped, but they had three other guys whose ratings went up.
Oh.
And, of course, that put them over the top.
It's so weird what people care about.
I know.
It's so damn. That's like probably the thing that I hate the most about college football is how weird people get about the competitiveness over stuff that doesn't even count.
Right.
Like if it's
hey, what if my five-star turns out to be better than your five-star?
We won the recruiting national championship. It's like the dumbest thing ever. I'll never understand it. I'll never get it. I'll never get how people spend countless hours on message boards comparing players that they've never seen. They just see a number of stars by their name and go, oh, we won that one. Boom, we got that kid. Oh, yeah? What do you know about him? Four stars, bro. What else?
6'3".
Yeah, I mean, let me pull it up. His measurables here. I mean, his team only lost one game his senior season. One game. Hey, that's going to translate, bro. God, I hate recruiting guy. I don't get it.
Well, it gets better because this story about this is probably, Aaron's seen it. It's probably like 2,000 words, right? And a website called the Gig'em Gazette, they did their own story. It says, here's the tweet. How is Texas 2019 class fraudulent? Let us count the ways. And basically talk about the recruiting bias for Texas. Now, to be fair, this has gone on forever, but the Aggies have benefited from it, too. It's like if there's a guy who's like a three-star borderline and Texas offers him early or A&M offers him early, they're going to bump his ranking. They always have. It's if Alabama does it, LSU does it. If Rice offers him, he's a two-star.
Yeah.
Even if he was going to be a five-star.
Not only that, some of these guys get rated when they're 16, 17 years old. Who thinks they're not going to go through a growth spurt in their senior year?
Right.
And, of course, they do point out that a lot of Texas class has actually gone down in ranking since committing, but including a poster on TexAggs who showed that, hey, they had some guys go down in ranking, too. But
is this someone trying to – did they ban him?
I don't know.
What, are you trying to be reasonable?
This is
– get out of here, loser.
This has turned into a legitimate controversy.
You must be a sip.
And it's funny because the reality is there's always been – and not so much anymore, but in the past, there was always a subtle bias toward Texas in the media in the state. And the reason is it's pretty simple. They had the best journalism school in the state. So if you wanted the best people that were going to the best school, who are you going to hire? There was a time we had almost all UT people.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's going to be some bias slipping in there. It's just there's nothing you can do about that. But my suggestion would be get a better J school. But this isn't journalism. This is paid recruiting rankings. So, you know, that I don't think you have much of a – but to get that upset over it, I tell you.
But it's not surprising.
No. It's. I mean, people are so passionate about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's. They care about some kid from Sweeney who they probably watched maybe one highlight of him running for a touchdown because nobody in high school ever does that. 832 says, what are the odds my wife came home early with the flu and found 50 roses? Thanks, Rose Express. Thanks, 975. Yeah, and 713 says, that rabbit hole on Twitter is hilarious. So, yeah, they don't have all the tweets in the story. They had a couple. And, of course, it's about the Longhorn media and everything else. But, you know, I just think it's fun that people get this worked up over being, what, 2 points apart in some bogus total where you add up the kids' stars and average them out, and this is what you get. You know, maybe they're just cranky because – this is what I think. I think they're cranky because their credit card bills are too high. And I can tell them how to fix it.
Do it.
All they have to do is go to LightStream. Because LightStream, you can consolidate multiple credit card payments down to one payment at a lower rate. And with LightStream, you can refinance your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan. You can get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. That rate is fixed. It'll never go up. Zero fees. You apply online in minutes, so you don't even need to leave your house. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And the cool thing about this is I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, but it's a lot more than 6.14%. LightStream rewards people with good credit with a low rate and an easy process. And how about this? You want to save even more? Blitzers get an additional interest rate discount. And the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And Greg, the beer man, says it doesn't matter what the recruiting rank is. They aren't going to compete for a championship.
Well, I mean,
they're competing for a recruiting championship,
that's
man.
That's it.
They're going to put a banner up for that. Both schools. That's what they do. Just saying.
Yeah.
Somebody asking.
I mean, it's just as weird that Aggie is celebrating being number three, or that Longhorn is celebrating being number three instead of four. It's all dumb.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the other, the flip side of it is, oh, look at our recruiting class. We're back, baby. 713 asked, have you guys seen the Fry Festival documentary? I have not. I'll get around to it at some point. Because I don't know which one to watch, and I ain't watching them both.
No.
To be honest, I'm just not that interested in it.
I'm interested. I heard that it was, I don't know. I don't know how interested I am. I don't know if I'm interested enough to watch. I've got less time to watch TV now.
Yeah.
And I'm being more careful about what I spend it on.
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens with True Detective. Once that's over, I might look for some things. But, yeah. But right now, don't really have time. Is that Ryan?
Yes.
Let's try Ryan.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
So, this is a college basketball question involving U of H. And even though it's college basketball, and AJ, I know you have a specialty, I feel like this is more toward Fred just because he's going to have more, you know, familiarity with the player. I've been hearing a lot of comparisons comparing Dejon Giroux to Benny Anders. What validity do you kind of give to that comparison? I'll just hang up and listen.
Maybe. Anders was basically a, you know, he was a guy that you would call a finisher because when the ball got passed to him, it was finished being passed.
Yeah.
And Giroux's been a little bit like that too. He's but yeah, I don't see it that much. Although I think we haven't seen what Giroux's going to be yet. He's still developing into a player, but it's very similar. I mean, I don't think it's a silly comparison.
I don't know much about the other guy. I do like Dejon Giroux though. I think he's going to turn into a pretty good player. I wish that he had more of a shot, but
yeah, he creates a lot of offense.
Yeah,
but he's not a square up shooter.
No. You
know, he basically.
And I think as he works in, because he played a bigger role last year for UMass on a bad UMass team than he is for UH right now. But I think as he gets older, he's going to continue to blossom. He's going to be a good player.
He was really good in the second half Sunday. And that roster, I know they're going to lose Davis, but they've got some really good young freshmen. Nate Hinton's only going to get better and better, and they got a kid coming in next year who's supposed to be a terrific scorer. He's really built this thing up now. So, you know, the main thing I remember about Benny Anders is how close he came to stealing the ball from Wittenberg and going for the winning dunk on the last play of that horrible event that happened in New Mexico all those years ago in 1983.
when I was 3 years old.
Yeah. That UH team was full of NBA guys, though. You had Drexler on that team. You had Olajuwon. Michael Young had a cup of coffee in the NBA. Meshaw had a cup of coffee in the NBA. Yeah, that I don't know that there's an NBA talent on this UH team. I think there's a lot of really, really good players that play better than, you know, I think collectively play better than they are individually.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I see one either. At least I don't think I see like an impactful NBA player. Yeah,
not yet.
Sure.
Maybe Hinton becomes that. You know, he's only a freshman. We'll see. But I don't look at it and say, I think this guy's got a shot at being a player in the league. But I see a lot of guys who are just really good basketball players and play well together. I know that's kind of been a thing to start comparing these guys to the Phi Slamma Jamma teams.
Yeah.
It's not really a comparison, and it's no knock on these kids, but in terms of talent and some of the teams they played, because UH back then played everybody, you know, all the other big schools, and you know, they went up and played at Syracuse one year. They played, you know, they were, you know, I remember them playing Virginia when they had Olden Polynice here. I mean, they were playing top five and top 10 programs. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 409 asks, how would you recommend getting into sports podcasting? There's a whole bunch of, you can just kind of go online and look on how to start a podcast, and you can do it relatively inexpensively. And that's a, you know, it's a good way to start. I think it gets some reps. Maybe you get a following, and if you get a following, then you see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tougher market than people think, because
I mean, listen, if you want a podcast and you don't care how many people listen, go for it. But it is hard to build an audience. That's the difference between podcasting and broadcasting is, I mean, with a broadcast, I mean, you at least start, I mean, not everybody starts with some sort of a built-in audience, but most people start with some sort of a built-in audience. A podcast, unless you're a famous person, like, it's really difficult to develop a following. So I respect anybody who does those podcasts and can actually build a following. I've talked about podcasting before. Sometimes I think it's a giant waste of time for people because they're just doing it for themselves and, you know, their buddies.
But that's all right.
If that's what you're into, that's fine too.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you are just doing it for your friends, that's cool. But it is a lot harder than people think in terms of getting an audience because, oh, well, look how popular podcasting is. There's maybe four podcasts that are really popular, maybe five.
Yeah.
And those are extremely successful. And then there's probably 100,000 of them that you've never heard of.
Right.
And so it depends on what your goals are. If your goals are to get some reps and get to be better and hone your craft because you want to get into this, I think that's a great idea. If you just want to do something fun for your friends, I think that's a great idea. And if you can get sponsors, that's even better. So yeah, I think the first thing is define what your goal is. What do you want the goal of the podcast to be? Number two, what do you want the structure of the podcast to be? You know, how are you going to put it together for each one of them? And then be consistent. If you're going to do one, don't do one on, you know, 1 week and then skip it for 3 weeks. If you say you're going to do a weekly podcast,
take it seriously, like you got a job to do.
Right, and build your audience that way. The technical stuff, that's you can just Google that and find out what you need for it. And, you know, where there's hosting sites and things like that. And, you know, if you've got a sponsor, we actually have a hosting site, podcastarena.com. But we also are pretty full.
Yeah.
So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, hey, if you're stuck in your car right now, and you're heading out of town, leaving downtown from work, you want to go someplace and get some great wings, get a daily special. Know what today's daily special
What's
is
today's special?
At Big City Wings?
What?
$7 for all burgers and whiskey.
Wait.
$7 all burgers and whiskey Wednesdays.
Wow.
So you can stop by right now. They have specials every day. That's what I love. Tomorrow, how about this? Double boneless wings and Texas crafts. Which that's going to include some Carbach in there. You know that. And there's seven great locations now, including the new one at Kingwood, which has the Fred Fowler table and the AJ Hoffman table.
So yes. We've become very famous.
Yes, you can,
I must tell you,
go to Kingwood and actually sit at tables that are named after us. Listen, Big City Wings is great. I was on them long before they started advertising. I love their wings. I love their burgers. I love their baked potatoes. They've got so much on the menu, and it's just a great place to go and watch sports. They've got so many TVs. You could see every one of them. And if you want to go this weekend and watch your AAF and watch college basketball and watch the NBA so you don't have to choose, well, guess what? That's your place to go. And every night they've got sports everywhere. Check them out. Go to BigCityWings.com and find the location that's nearest you, including that new one in Kingwood. I go to the one out in the Marquis Edwards. That's the closest one to me, and I go there all the time, or I Uber eat there a lot too because their food is fantastic. Follow them on Facebook at Big City Wings. Same thing for Instagram. On Twitter, it's big_city_wings. BigCityWings.com, Houston's wing joint.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey Houston, this is Tony Kent with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on The Blitz. Quick pitch for sportsmap.com, greatest Houston sports website ever. There's a Charlie Polillo video up on the battle for rotation spots for the Astros and some of the future guys. Joel and Lance did a video on, I mentioned earlier, Cliff Kingsbury and maybe Kyler Murray going there. My picks are up for today, but the races are over, so those don't do
too
you
late.
Good. Yeah.
Sucker.
They did okay today. Josh has a video on Alex Bregman sharing three keys to success in baseball and lots of other good stuff. Just so go to sportsmap.com. There's so much good stuff, I can barely keep up with it now. That's how good it is.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Longhorns didn't get it done last night, but K-State's coach was impressed with them. Says they'll do some damage in the tournament. What do you think of the Longhorns right now? To me, are they even a lock to make the tournament?
They are. I don't want to say they're a lock to make it, but it would take a serious collapse for them not to make it at this point. They're not going to be one of these teams that's fighting for a 4 or 5 seed, but I think that their resume at this point is good enough that they're a borderline lock to get in. Not many teams in the country have wins over North Carolina and Purdue. They've got both those wins. So when you've got wins like that in the non-conference and they've got a loss to Michigan State non-conference, like they've played at such a tough schedule in their non-conference that, you know, dropping games here and there isn't going to be the end of the world. They do have some bad losses, too. They lost to Oklahoma State, who sucks. They lost to Providence, who sucks. They lost to Georgia, who is in the discussion for worst team in the SEC. But as long as they take care of business down the stretch, and they've got 6 games left, I think. Basically, you split those, you're probably good. And they played good enough to win last night.
Yeah.
I mean, and Kansas State's a pretty good team.
Aren't they at first in the Big 12 now?
Yeah. So, you know.
I think I read that in somebody's article this week.
Yeah, they've got a good team. And they've got a guy in Jackson Hayes who's probably going to be an NBA one-and-done type kid. He's not great right now, but he's coming into his own as the season wears on. And I wouldn't want to play Texas in the first round. It's a team that's got a coach with some experience. But do I think they're going to make some real noise in the tournament? Probably not. They're too bad of a shooting team, and they don't have enough talent.
Well, there you go. I don't know if you saw this, but there's been a lot of talk of Kevin Durant to the Knicks at the end of the season. And obviously the Knicks are going to make a big move for him.
Yeah.
See what Reggie Miller had to say about him?
I did not.
He thinks he's too sensitive to play in New York.
There's something to be said for
that. Well, I'm not going to disagree with him, because has there ever been a more mentally weak superstar in any sport than Kevin Durant? I mean, this guy is a... I mean, he gets so upset over the dumbest things. It's like anything anybody says about him, somebody's going to send him this and he's going to pout. You watch.
Yeah. Here's the thing for Kevin Durant, though. I mean, he's going to... The big knock on him was that he left OKC for basically to chase rings, right?
Yeah.
What's the knock if he goes to the Knicks, who don't have another even good player on their team?
Well, yeah.
Now what? He's chasing money, or he doesn't care about winning?
But that doesn't matter. It's how he's going to react to it. When people say that, he's going to curl up in a little ball, or he's going to get surly. That's what he does.
Maybe so. I just think it's stupid that that's how people are going to react. But it is basically a lock that that's how people are going
to react. But then how he reacts to that is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I think it's stupid people react that way? Yeah. But do I think it's stupid that if he gets asked basketball questions, he turns into a giant kitty cat?
Yeah.
And gets all surly? I mean, and he says, if he's a little surly and upset by what an athletic writer wrote about him, if he has a couple bad games in New York under that microscope, he's really going to be upset.
Yeah.
And that's New York anything. There's a lot of guys who are... Now, I think he'll succeed there because he's that good, even though he's been pretty damn good despite being mentally weak. So I'm not going to... Yeah, I'm not going to say he's not going to be successful there. But there have been a lot of guys go to New York with talent and don't succeed.
It's tough.
It is a tough, tough market because it's still a huge media market where there's still newspapers in New York that are covering you every day, and more than one.
And they are not going to go easy on you.
No. And I think I just think it'll be an adjustment for him. I wish he would just not be so weak about stuff. That's all. I mean, it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't affect his game. It hasn't affected it yet. But he just maybe sensitive. Is the word I'm looking for. I mean, he's the most sensitive.
That's probably. I think
superstar.
I do think he's sensitive to what people say about him, which is
like now even Jordan's sensitive about everything. Anytime somebody else comes up that's doing something, he has to bring up what he did.
Yeah,
and he was never like that before. Maybe it's just the whole new world. Harden's pretty sensitive too, if you ask me.
Yeah. Although Harden doesn't, I feel like Harden worries less about the noise. But I may be wrong with that. I just feel like he's just whatever. He's more of a I don't care.
Yeah.
He at least says that. He doesn't. I'm sure he cares.
Yeah.
But he just at least pretends like he doesn't.
713-780-ESPN-469 asked, do you think that was a total choke job by Louisville or an epic comeback by Duke last night?
A little bit of both. I mean, more of a choke job in my opinion, but. Duke basically, they played as bad of a game as they could and still won at least against a good team. You could play pretty poorly against a bad team when you've got that much talent and still win. But to let Louisville get out to what is like a 23-point lead at one point, and for Louisville to let them back in, that's a lot on Louisville. And they were shooting too early in the clock. They just couldn't pass out of traps and were throwing it like cross-court passes on traps. It just bad play. But credit to Duke for coming back and winning. Duke, I kind of thought Duke would struggle in this game. And as I'm watching that game unfold, I'm like, this is exactly what I was worried about. Duke, who shot so well against Virginia and won that game, is suddenly going to think that they know how to shoot. And they went out there and sure enough, couldn't shoot. So they're chucking up shot after shot. None of them are going in and they kept doing it. They fell in love with it. And it almost bit him in the ass, but, I mean, they got out of it.
Are they, can they be had in the tournament?
Yes. Yeah, if you gave me Duke versus the field at this point, I'm taking the field, even giving up some juice if I have to. And I know that there was a thing in Vegas where you can take, like, Duke – Michigan State, Kansas, and Gonzaga versus the field for even money. It's not. I
don't mind that.
I like Gonzaga a lot, which turns me off from that prop. But if I could like trade some teams out.
Wait, well, what if you could trade Tennessee for Gonzaga?
Oh, I would take that prop all day. I don't think Tennessee's winning.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. We come back. I'm gonna ask you about a TV show that I want to get your opinion on something because there's some news about it, and I know you still watch the show.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you about Triangle Energy. There's a lot of different energy providers out there, and there's always different offers. Free weekends, free days, cash bonuses. The list goes on and on and on. And you may have fallen for one of those offers and then months later found out you're paying a higher rate on your bill or there's additional fees being tacked on. That's garbage, man. You know where that doesn't happen? Triangle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. Period. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born in Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE or TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TryEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064. And you're standing on-